Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collings, and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic, and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Robin McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Robin McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
Rob McCarron here with Jeff Hawkins. As usual, we've gone about, 123 straight episodes, no break, with two of us, the main hosts, with no alterations.
I believe this week is actually the start of year 13 of Shake Them Ropes.
Year 13 of Shake Them Ropes. I don't know if that's terrible or good. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Oh, what young pups we were back in the day.
I've never been young in the history of this show.
Just kids living a dream, trying to make something happen, talking about NXT and Alexa Bliss all night long.
Hey, guys.
Oh, but there's a lot to discuss today. We are going to get into a little bit from WWE, a little bit from AEW. I'm going to attempt to get something out of Jeff for TNA. We'll see how that goes. Maybe it won't. But first, we got to talk about the most important thing going on in the world of professional wrestling. MJF and Seth Rollins were in the same room today.
Yeah, Radio Row. This is where
Radio
everybody...
Row, a magical place where celebrities of all different tiers and all different styles and backgrounds wind up in the same sad closeted room behind
the
black
worst.
Curtains.
It is the worst. Like, I used to listen to a morning show when I was doing the overnights at the law firm, that they'd be like the only show there, and they'd be like screaming across to try and get, you know, Joe Montana, who is plugging some nutritional formula.
If only Joe Montana could be there. If only the celebrities were all of Joe Montana's level. Unfortunately, that is not always the case, but there's been quite a bit of wrestling appearances there. Seth Rollins is there. MJF, Big E was doing some interviews that I stumbled upon.
Punk's all over
YouTube. CM Punk is all over the place. There's some big ones there. So WWE stars and AEW stars certainly getting out there to do some of the radio. Radio Row sounds like both the most magical place on earth and also simultaneously nowhere I'd ever want to be. Because you're right, especially when it's on the West Coast. I mean, some of these 6 to 10 a.m. morning shows out east are going there set up at 4 in the morning, and there's no one there yet.
Oh, even before that. They're like 1 in the morning to be on the air at like 3 in the morning because it's 6 to 9 is morning drive on the East Coast.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's just like, all right, third string wide receiver on a Super Bowl champion from 6 years ago. What's your plug? Dog food, please.
That's honestly what it is. It's people who have somewhat of a loose tie to the NFL or football in general, going around shilling a product. That's why they're there. They're being paid by the product to go do these interviews. And there's so many vendors, basically, at Radio Row. So many of these small-time stations that just want some guests. That's why you can have some of the C and D level celebrities going around and be able to get their product pitched, because these radio shows just want to fill time on air with any possible name they can. So if you're unfamiliar with Radio Row, go check it out on YouTube. Go find out all about it and immerse yourself in Radio Row.
And then you get the ones that want to be more clever than they are and do bits in there to really screw with the people at Radio Row, and you're just like, God, you guys aren't like, funny. Stop
like
this.
Like New Day or No Way, because Big E did some different radio shows, and it was revealed today on Stu Gotts and Company that Big E is a pool peer. Big E will piss in a pool if the bathroom is too far away.
I saw you getting fightful on that for a headline.
I feel like this is the top story of the week, bro. I'm not kidding. I mean, if you asked me, does Big E look like a guy who's peeing in the pool, or does he get out to go to the bathroom? I would have for sure, like 98% said, this guy gets out. I mean, he's not gross. He's a fun-loving guy. He doesn't want to be playing in a pool that people are pissing in. No, pool pisser, Big E.
And then he's doing a podcast with the former Lindsay Soto, as I recall, for some gambling website or something.
Sure.
Okay.
I have no idea. That's not what he was pushing. He's a part of some project, the evaluators, doing some pre-draft prep on some YouTube channel.
No, that's who he's going to be doing the podcast for as well. Yeah, it's his analytics company or something.
Yeah, the analytics preview. So Big E's making the rounds, some different guys making the rounds, but that was the big news to come out of today. So really, that's pretty much all we had to talk about was Big E pissing in pools. We will see you all next week on Shake Them Ropes.
CM Punk taught Kay Adams how to do an Anaconda Vice on Rob Gronkowski. I saw that. That was fun.
Yeah, there's probably more to go because tomorrow, the last day of Radio Row, I'm sure they'll still be out there. I feel like Wednesday and Thursday are the biggest days for Radio Row. If you're unfamiliar, Radio Row is the lead up to the Super Bowl. It takes place in a building adjacent, usually, to the Super Bowl location, and it's where all the radio stations come when they travel to the Super Bowl to set up and do radio. All out of the, it's a big whole deal now. Like the NFL media basically handles everything, and they all come to the same place. Whereas back in the old Western days, they could have been setting up in a closet at a like Burger King outside of the Super Bowl site, and just hey, we're going to do radio here. Why not? But we got to talk about WrestleMania 42's main event has been sealed on Raw this week. And we also have the women's title match seemingly booked as well. But there is a pay-per-view and most likely a Saturday night's main event. Is there a Saturday night's main event on the books between now and WrestleMania? I have to figure that there is. I just have no recollection right now of when or where that might be. Because we just had one.
I don't know.
But they're coming fast and furious, Jeff, these Saturday night's main events. So we just had one January 24th. It looks like there's nothing currently scheduled, but I wouldn't be shocked if we have one maybe that early April, a couple of weeks before the WrestleMania.
Oh, there's going to be one between like Elimination Chamber and somewhere WrestleMania.
Maybe somewhere in March there. Because heck, they did a Saturday night's main event a week before the Royal Rumble. So they're not afraid to do one before these shows. So we could possibly have a Saturday night's main event. We have Elimination Chamber coming up in Chicago at the end of this month. So only 3 weeks away, really, when it comes to Raws and such. So we are going to have a big show at the end of this month, but we have the WrestleMania main event. It is CM Punk versus Roman Reigns, leaving the SmackDown title picture still open, probably going to headline the Elimination Chamber with that side. We'll talk about that in a moment. But what do you think? CM Punk, Roman Reigns, CM Punk getting back-to-back main events, and most likely this will be the Sunday night main event, I would have to say, with the heat going in it right now and the two names involved. So CM Punk, Roman Reigns, your main event of WrestleMania 42. Are you going?
I am not going yet. There's a chance I might be able to. I have some legalities I need to clear up. Either in March or April, and then
that restraining order CM Punk still got on you, right?
Oh, I might have some extra money though to go to WrestleMania after that.
Back when you and Punk were both going after Maria Kanellis, and he barely went out.
Barely went out. I'll tell you one thing though, that promo segment more than made up for how lame I found both Rumbles to be. I enjoyed AJ and Gunther, but both Rumbles were. I mean, the Women's Rumble landed eventually in the second half, and Men's Rumble wasn't very good, I didn't think, but I loved the promo segment to end Raw. I absolutely adored it. It got me there. Yeah. And this is what Punk has always wanted. Punk has always wanted to be the marquee main event, not just a main event, but the guy, the main event.
And honestly, the way that build led up to WrestleMania last year, I felt like the Saturday night's main event, if you will, was the real main event. I mean, you had the story about Paul Heyman. You had the wonder of like who will actually walk out of this match, the winner going into it. Because it wasn't for a title. It was literally for the love of Paul Heyman last year. But going into WrestleMania, it was probably the match I was most excited for, even more so than Cody versus John Cena. But yeah, this year, CM Punk, Roman Reigns, you got two guys. And who would have thought this 10 years ago, right? It's like nobody. But Roman Reigns is going to build this matchup by talking, and it's going to be awesome. Because Roman Reigns got the crowd behind him there in Philadelphia. I mean, when that show was over and that promo was done, no one was like, oh, I'm on one side only, and the other guy is the heel. No one turned in this. But CM Punk was not getting the chance that OTC was getting during that.
No, and there were some interesting deep cuts in there, like about how the Shield was brought up and how he wanted in there originally. Yeah.
It makes you wonder, right, if they're going to go more into that throughout the next, because we got 2 months still.
But just the simplicity of saying, I hate you in a wrestling promo. That's all I want, Rob, is some emotional connection to the work. And that got me right there. As soon as he said those words, I'm like, I'm in.
I hate you. I always have. I shook your hand and you proved why I should hate you afterwards. Because he's taking any little slight that CM Punk may have done, you know, because CM Punk at times is still kind of the funny guy. Like he's playing the little small jokes. He's laughing with his opponents. He's making jokes with them. You know, the Z-Bros comment, the holding the belt up like he's Paul Heyman walking behind Roman Reigns. This is the type of stuff that's going to come up. And 2.5 months, we'll see if the crowd gets tired of it on any one side and starts to really pull. But that was what was happening in Philly. I mean, maybe is anyone else reading it like I'm reading it? Because I looked at that and I'm like, Roman's winning this crowd over and Punk is kind of looking a little, will he start looking pathetic? I don't know.
It's weird because Punk's sense of humor is so caustic that it should naturally turn people off. I mean, he's a perfect troll is what he is. And so it gets to a point where he'll keep digging at you. And then all Roman has to look at him and go, I'm just going to punch you in the face and shut you up. And he's automatically the baby face because, that's what happens.
Caustic. Adjective, sarcastic in a scathing and bitter way. For those of you, unlike myself, because I knew exactly what that word meant, but for those who didn't, sarcastic in a scathing and bitter way. And that's exactly what it is. Where Roman isn't quite like that. Roman has gotten where he's, you know, more direct. He's going to tell you what you did to affront him. He's going to explain what he's going to do because of that. And he's going to be like, I don't care about your jokes. It's like, I'm the guy who was champion for 3 straight years.
You know what he's become is he's become the opposite side of the coin of Drew McIntyre, where he just tells the truth, but he actually is able to capitalize on it.
Yeah, well, Drew's done that thing, and we'll get to a little bit about this promo that I'm excited for SmackDown to see if Drew responds to in any way.
Oh, yeah, because he was basically buried, him and Cody.
Well, he was buried. Cody was probably buried even more than Drew was, because CM Punk tried to talk down about Drew McIntyre and all that, calling Drew McIntyre the easy way out for Roman. And then Roman attempted to do that thing that, you know, really good heels usually do, right? Is that you're great. Well, baby faces, I guess. Usually baby faces, top baby faces will do this. It's like, you're really good. I'm better, but you're really good. It's not that you suck, you're terrible, I'm going to beat you because you're terrible. It's like, this is the hardest challenge of my life. And that's what Roman attempted to kind of do. It didn't go full throttle that way. But yeah, you have Drew McIntyre on the other side, whose whole gimmick the last 3 years has been Bloodline Hunter. I'm telling the truth. No one's on my side. People are giving Roman Reigns and Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso an out when they shouldn't be. I'm not giving him out. And that's how he turned bad, because he's not giving him an out. And he's just going on his merry way. And now he's going to do what he has to do because no one is on his side, effectively.
Right.
And Drew McIntyre started to take more shortcuts doing that way. And it's kind of evolved into what the Drew McIntyre character is now on the heel side. And I don't know if I don't know what we're going to get on the CM Punk and Roman Reigns side to see if they attempt to maybe have someone the big time babyface going in. It's very possible we're just going to get, you know, top babyface versus top babyface. and we'll see what happens. But talk about Drew McIntyre a little bit. CM Punk, Roman Reigns during their promo talked about Drew McIntyre being the easy way out. Do you expect Drew to mention anything like this on SmackDown, or do we kind of just move along and see what Drew's program ends up being going into Elimination Chamber and WrestleMania?
I think he gets one shot at him and then moves on. I don't think
because you have to move on, right?
Yeah, you have to move on.
You can't dwell on that because they're not the ones in the program together.
You have to build yourself up to be as big, and that's going to be the challenge, and you have to do it without trashing the other main event.
Well, and especially since there's no lock that the SmackDown World title is going to be the main event of night one.
Right.
Because
it's probably going to be a women's title of some kind, too.
It could be. It could be a tag team title match with Rhea Ripley and Io. It could be a number of different things. But let's face it, Gunther and Jay was not the main event of Saturday's WrestleMania last year.
No.
Even though I do think that was a pretty big match. I know people look at it a little bit later with how Jay Uso's singles run went. And it's like, oh, Gunther and Jay Uso forever will be remembered as a what the hell was going on there. But at the time, Jay Uso was at his peak. The story was pretty good. I think people were fans going into it, and Gunther was a top heel. So it was a big match. It just, you can't put three matches on two nights as all the main event.
Right.
So yeah, right now Drew's got to worry about whether he's even the Saturday night main event at WrestleMania. I assume at this point, I think it's a pretty safe assumption that the Elimination Chamber is going to have an Elimination Chamber match to see who the number one contender to Drew McIntyre is. But is it possible we even get a Cody Rhodes, Drew McIntyre singles match before then? Maybe on a SmackDown, possibly at Elimination Chamber, keeping Cody Rhodes out of the chamber match. Is there any possibility we see Drew and Cody before WrestleMania?
Yes, but it doesn't end with a clean finish.
Okay. Are you of the belief that it will be Cody versus Drew?
No, I think it's going to be Cody versus Drew versus Jacob Fatu.
Okay, so we do the triple threat there, Jacob Fatu getting in there, which would be really interesting because there would have to be some shenanigans, right? There would have to be some shenanigans if the SmackDown world title is the Elimination Chamber match. Maybe it's for the world title. Maybe Drew at Elimination Chamber defends the title and we don't get an actual number one contendership match. But there's a lot of names. There's a lot of possibilities. 3 weeks away, if you had to guess right now, knowing that all this could be blown up in a day. I love the Royal Rumble predictions last week. I'm like, I don't even think Gunther's going to be in the Royal Rumble. And then that night, oh yeah, Gunther's in the Royal Rumble. Of course he is. Why would he not be? Come on. But yeah, you got Cody Rhodes. You got Randy Orton still kind of in the mix. Jacob Fatu. Is Sami Zayn completely out of the picture now? Was his Royal Rumble match getting him out of the picture?
No, I think he hangs around a bit, but I expect him in this Elimination Chamber. I mean, who are your six if you have it? Do you have Drew in there defending, or is he going to take on the winner? That's the thing.
That's the trick I see, because with having so much time out, because even after Elimination Chamber, you have, I think it's 6 or 7 weeks before WrestleMania. So there's so much time to get a one-on-one match going. Could Drew McIntyre defend the title? I don't think so. I think you hold off the Drew McIntyre title defense. So if I was booking in the Elimination Chamber, or if I'm not even booking it, if I'm suspecting who's going to be in it, I think Orton, Rhodes, and Fatu are a lock.
Yes.
I think you put Sami Zayn in there just to have that body in there. And then the next open spots, the two open spots I have between three people, maybe four people actually, I have them between Damian Priest, Trick Williams, Obafemi, and Royce Keyes, because we still don't know what show Obafemi is going to end up on.
Do you have Jey Uso in there, possibly doing double duty?
Not on the SmackDown side, because Jey Uso, I see him defending the tag team titles going into WrestleMania, so none of the single stuff. The only reason he's been doing, you know, solo TV is because Jimmy can't be on any of these international shows. So Jimmy's kind of had a rough January. Not being able to be on TV, but he'll be back. And Jey Uso, Jimmy Uso will be.
I could see a wild card in here. I could see something like an Ilya Dragunov being in there too.
Yeah. I wonder too, if they're going to have Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, maybe they do Obafemi and Brock Lesnar this time.
That I think is from the weird way, because they totally missed this on the Royal Rumble shot, is, you know, Femi eliminated Brock Lesnar while Jey Uso was yeeting.
With the help with the help of Cody Rhodes. Well, no, Oba Femi didn't eliminate Brock Lesnar. It was Cody Rhodes and no, because Oba was eliminated by Brock Lesnar.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah. It was Cody Rhodes and someone else, might have been Orton. It was Cody and someone eliminated Brock Lesnar. Yeah, but it was happening during the dance off. They barely even got it on camera, which, hey, sometimes things like that happen. I wonder if that was Brock's way of like eliminate me when people aren't paying attention.
I feel like Royce Keyes, I'm seeing a Cody Rhodes heel turn somewhere. I don't know if it's before or after Mania. And yeah. I see Royce Keyes as his heater.
Okay.
I don't know why, but it just, it feels that way. I know that they're tight from their days in AEW, but it's like one of those things where it's just like, that feels right to me, especially because you have Oba and Trick that you're trying to build up on this brand. You're going to need something for him to do, or otherwise it's going to be like the land of giants over there, which is going to be hard for him.
Could Cody Rhodes and Royce Keyes be a better MJF and Wardlow than MJF?
Oh no,
and
Oba's on Raw. Damn it, it's my fault. Sorry.
We don't know where Oba's on yet. He's going to be doing the Raw and SmackDown. He's going to be doing that gimmick where he hasn't been signed yet.
So he can
go to any show. I'm sure he's going to do a squash match on SmackDown this weekend as well. So, but yeah, I mean, maybe Cody Rhodes turns heel at some point. Whether that happens before WrestleMania or not, I could see Cody Rhodes becoming a heel at WrestleMania. I think the crowd is ripe to do that double turn with a Las Vegas WrestleMania, seeing Cody Rhodes in the main event for four straight years. I think we could be ripe for Cody Rhodes turning for sure. And then you have a babyface Randy Orton waiting on the other side.
That works.
There's a lot of different possibilities. I'm not trying to fantasy book anything. I'm just saying there's a lot of possibilities on the SmackDown side. You can much more easily fill a SmackDown Elimination Chamber match that way. On the Raw side, CM Punk versus Finn Balor looks like it might actually be the one of the main events on Elimination Chamber. CM Punk wrestling in Chicago makes sense. So you do the Finn Balor rematch, get him kind of out of the way so CM Punk can move fully onto Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. But that kind of progresses your story and keeps Roman Reigns, because I don't expect Roman Reigns to be on TV every week until March. Like, I see him taking a few weeks off now. And we get that Finn Balor CM Punk story. So Elimination Chamber is looking like it's going to be a consequential show. You know, what are the main events for WrestleMania? Does Drew McIntyre defend the title? Does Cody Rhodes stay in the babyface role? Do they start teasing at any point Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes even more? Because obviously we got that spot in the Royal Rumble where Cody Rhodes hit the cutter on Orton. It's going to happen at some point, but when does that happen? Elimination Chamber becoming a big show and happening in Chicago too. It's going to be hyped.
Do you have a second Elimination Chamber idea?
I do. The women's side. Now, my question to you, Jeff, is we've talked about how the women's division right now has been propped up more on the tag team side than any of the singles championships.
Yes.
You can put Becky and Maxine, they're getting a lot of TV time, but as far as main event slots on the shows, it's Rhea Ripley and Io in that tag team division. Could we possibly see a tag team Elimination Chamber?
Yes. If you recall, that's how they crowned the first women's tag team champs in WWE.
Yeah. So maybe that makes a comeback here at Elimination Chamber, because you have, I kind of struggled a little bit trying to pick out singles competitors for a SmackDown women's title match. Like, do you split up Charlotte and Alexa and they continue on like the singles kind of road? Tiffany, Bianca Belair, if she's able to come back, maybe put Jordynne Grace in there. Who else do you fill it with? But on the tag team side, I mean, it's ready to go with Asuka and Kairi Sane, Jackson Lash, Raquel, and Roxanne, possibly putting them back as the tag team, because Raquel likely out of the Stephanie Vaquer sweepstakes as Liv Morgan makes her way in. The Bella Twins just recently returned as a tag team, looking like they're going to head through WrestleMania full time. And then maybe you bring up an NXT team where you still got Bayley and Lyra right there.
And Charlotte and Alexa. So that's,
and you can put Charlotte. That's the thing. Charlotte and Alexa in there too. So you got all these teams that have been teams. You got many stars. I mean, you're talking about Nia Jax in there, Asuka, Roxanne, Alexa, Charlotte, obviously the Bellas. That's a lot of stars in that program, in that division right now. Could we see That would just be for like a number one contendership. You're not even putting Io and Rhea in there. That's just number one contendership to the women's tag team titles at WrestleMania, decided by the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, I think that's the best idea, other than a women's single. I just Natty, Becky, Maxine, and
yeah, because I mean they're eliminated out of it. You'd have to put some of the Raw stars in there probably, but really it's for the SmackDown women's title.
Oh, so yeah, then you'd have like Chelsea,
yeah,
Jordan,
Julia, who's the U.S. champion. So do you really fill it up with that? Bianca's a wild card. Maybe she needs, you know, a month or two more to recover from the injury. She's been out since April of last year. I mean, Bianca's been gone.
I think it might be Tiffany and Jade.
I think that's your match for WrestleMania for sure. So you could do that without having an Elimination Chamber, right? You can just, Tiffany's back. She's ready to go for the title. You do a program there, give Tiffany some wins. Maybe she wrestles a singles match. Probably not happen in Elimination Chamber. I mean, Elimination Chamber is going to be full. There's going to be a lot of people not on the show, even though there's 2 6-person matches on there. That's another reason why I think the tag team match on the women's side works, is because you get 12 of your stars all in one match. You can get a lot of people on the show this way. So I think we're going to see that return of the tag team Elimination Chamber. But of course, that could all change this weekend on SmackDown, and we get something completely different. So we shall see. We have a lot going into the main roster side in WWE, stemming from the Royal Rumble. But there was also some shakeup on the NXT side. We have a new NXT champion in Joe Hendry, and we have a new interim general manager of NXT in Robert Stone, the former Robbie E. I will continue to call him the former Robbie E, even though he hasn't been Robbie E in like 7 years. A lot of rumors swirling. Of course, Jeff, we have a reason why Robbie E, why we even need an interim GM of NXT, and that's because Ava is out of here.
Mm-hmm. You got to remember, Ava joined when she was 18. So she hasn't actually been to college or anything like that. So it was, either I'm going to make a career out of WWE or nothing. I still think she ends up going into like a production shingle for her dad or something of that effect. She really wants to make movies. She was originally going to NYU. There's some rumblings that it's possibly because they cut her girlfriend and she just didn't have the heart for it anymore. I don't know if that's true or not. So, but I didn't think the life was for her, Rob, and I'm not that upset that she's gone.
I mean, you seem to know a lot about her, so.
I talk to people.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, Ava is gone. It was pretty abrupt. They didn't really.
Her heart wasn't in it anymore, and she just wanted to leave.
On television, they basically introduced Robbie E as the new GM. They didn't reference why he needs to be the new GM.
No, they just said interim GM.
Yeah, you're the interim GM. So, of course, there's a lot of rumors out there. I don't know how substantiated they are. And they're still trying to find a full-time general manager, a full-time person in this role. And the name Carmella is floating around quite a bit.
Is it?
What do you think about that?
I'm fine. She's a great... She's an interesting screen presence. I think she over-delivers on things. I could also see this being where Paige comes back.
Okay, yeah. I mean, you just have to fly in on Tuesdays. You fly home Wednesday morning. It's one day a week.
Yeah.
No wrestling necessary.
Somebody in the Orlando area, perhaps, to film some vignettes or something to that effect.
That's why the Carmella rumors kind of were interesting to me, because I had thought that Corey Graves and Carmella were living in Pennsylvania, but maybe they are in Florida. I have no idea.
I have no idea either.
But someone local would make sense, right? A former WWE name, someone who's not going to get back in the ring as a wrestler and just wants to, you want someone on TV that has more of a connection. Cause Carmella, as much as she won the first Money in the Bank, she was on WWE TV on the main roster. I think a lot of people would still kind of pin her as an NXT star when she was at her peak there. So, we'll possibly get some Carmella back in NXT. What do you think about Joe Hendry being the new NXT champion?
I'm actually surprised he's not on the main roster. That's the part that kind of, kind of shocked me, but I think this is perfect for the most part. I think he's a great presence on this show. He's a good veteran. I don't know if Booker is helping him get over, but he's doing the thing he did with Trick and others to teach the people how to react to Joe Hendry. So I guess you have to treat that as a positive, but this tracks for me. This does.
Yeah. I mean, Joe Hendry's a guy that kind of like Ego, kind of like Ricky Saints. It's like, I feel like these guys are just NXT lifers. Now, no one is ever an NXT lifer. Eventually, they have something to do on the main roster, or they're gone if they're there for too long. But these guys seem like long-term NXT guys for me to kind of be the stars of that particular brand as they try to get a TV deal the next go-around for the WWE NXT rights. I still don't see any change there. We might see those spot appearances of Joe Hendry on the main roster on pay-per-views and whatnot. But right now I wouldn't throw him up on SmackDown and expect him to do anything, especially not when you have guys like Matt Cardona and some other NXT names that are still trying to find their footing.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I thought SmackDown would be a good place for him, but it's usually these are the types of guys who you think are staying in there too long, and then they get the ceremonial run on the main roster to make the big money to get out of the NXT contract, and then they're usually released a little bit later.
We have on the AEW side, there was a certified banger on Dynamite this week. Andrade, Kenny Omega, the AEW title picture is all a flutter, going every which way, because we had Brody King beating MJF in the main event, so he's going to get his title match. We have Andrade El Idolo facing Adam Page next week to be number one contender to eventually get that title match out of the way. And then you're still going to have Omega and Swerve in that title picture throughout the year. Kind of pushes Jon Moxley even further out. I know he's got other things going on right now with the Don Callis family, because of course we just needed Mox versus the Don Callis family now. So eventually we'll see if he gets back in it. A lot of different things going on. What'd you think about the match, Kenny Omega and Andrade? And so far with this world title picture, where 2 weeks in a row, last week on Dynamite, I was out for medical reasons, but I was fired up because they basically redid the whole Adam Page, Kenny Omega, and Andrade, the Swerve, mm-hmm. the three of them talking about how they should be the number one contenders. They basically redid that after doing it 2 weeks earlier. So clearly no movement there. We're finally getting some movement. The match, the angles, AEW Dynamite, where'd you stand?
I really like the booking of all this, especially. Because it's the proper move. I actually think they should let Andrade win against Hangman somehow, and he gets the match against MJF only to lose, possibly by MJF being even more evil than Andrade. They're doing that interesting thing with the ladies. We'll see what comes of that.
Well, but I want to get to the ladies yet. I want to stick to the
center. No. I gotcha. I meant Andrade's ladies. The ladies of AEW. Okay. But I feel like we have a three-way coming up with Swerve, Hangman, and Omega. And it's still interesting to me, the thought that possibly Hangman's a secret heel. Everything to me is screaming that he possibly turns along with Swerve. But
talk about the angles getting up to this. I mean, the pathway, right? Adam Page is just beating scrubs from the Don Callis family to get this match. Andrade just had to beat Kenny Omega and Swerve Strickland.
Swerve, right.
I mean, he just had to beat the two biggest names to get in here. And Adam Page is taking, speaking of the easy way out, right? I mean, he's beating up two Drew McIntyres, apparently, to get to this match. And we'll see. Now, this is the number one contendership. The match is taking place in Australia next weekend. But the main event, the winner of this match, is supposed to get that title match at the next AEW pay-per-view. So if you're going to do Andrade and MJF, you probably better have a bigger main event for that pay-per-view, because I don't see them headlining.
No, that's true. I had forgotten it was at the pay-per-view. I thought it was going to be on like a TV or something. I was thinking Omega and MJF for the pay-per-view, but that's not going to happen now. So Yeah, because that's gonna be Omega. That's probably gonna be Omega Swerve and possibly Hangman as a third. Maybe Joe in there as a fatal four way. I don't know, but it has to be Hangman.
Yeah, you got Samoa Joe out there just kind of dangling on when he's not really involved in the main event scene.
But I've overall loved this build quite a bit, where it's like the right people are winning. Like everybody's, Omega should have beaten Andre. No, this is perfect. You save Omega for a bigger show. For sure.
Yeah, then rushing it in March when he just came back to TV in late January.
Yeah.
No, it's a good idea. I think they're going the right way. I believe that it will be MJF versus Hangman at Revolution. So I think the Andrade mark comes to an end there. And then you get Hangman out of the way, and MJF spends the summer feuding with Omega, Swerve, any combination of the two, as you head into eventually All in London, where you could do the big one. Probably what? Kenny Omega versus MJF, I would imagine. So I could see Kenny losing or getting kind of on the side. Always getting close, but never quite getting over the hump, or something else happens to make him not in the title picture until coming up.
Well, there was a little bit of a monkey wrench thrown in that, possibly, because if Will Ospreay's ready for Wembley, do you not throw him into that title match?
I do not, because your main event of Wembley is going to be AJ Styles versus Will Ospreay.
Oh, you really think that, huh?
So let's get to that. The one thing we didn't talk about the Royal Rumble is AJ Styles lost. Gunther is the career killer. I called this, 6 months ago, I believe, is when I was calling this. Probably even before the Goldberg match. I don't know how that would be possible physically and timeline-wise, but I'll take credit for it. Okay. AJ Styles retired. He's come out on Stephanie McMahon's podcast and said, "You never say never, I might wrestle again." So I think the idea that he's going to wrestle again somewhere outside of WWE is very, very likely. And if you're having a big show in London at Wembley and you need a big name to be able to come in there and sell some tickets, AJ Styles is your guy, and I think he would do it. Because he doesn't have to come in for, do a loop all month long where he's working 5 nights a week. Guy's got to come in for 2 TVs and then have the match at Wembley. He can work 4 days.
I don't think he does AEW. I think he does a run in New Japan, but I think he never comes to AEW.
I think New Japan for sure, but I think it all ties into, I could see Will Ospreay and AJ Styles, the build, happening in New Japan and then happening at all in Wembley.
Now, a friend of the show floated something interesting.
We have no friends.
I have friends.
You might.
I don't mean somebody in wrestling. I mean a listener.
Right, yeah.
That big Raw in Atlanta.
That's what they should actually call it, too. They should just call it the big Raw in Atlanta.
Where?
Whatever happened to names like that, right? Yeah. The big show in Dallas.
Where it's possibly going to be AJ Styles' retirement speech. And possibly finding a way to get him back into a Mania match with Gunther or something.
Oh no, I think he's done. I mean, his contract's over. And if we're taking AJ Styles at his word, now you can always bring him in for different things. Does he go into the WWE Hall of Fame this year? Maybe.
No.
And if he does, well, I don't think so either. But if he does, that's the biggest sign yet that he's done with WWE afterwards. And they know it, that he's going to go wrestle somewhere else. Because he put him in the Hall of Fame. And we'll see you when we see you.
Well, there's a story that out there, I think it was Fightful, that said he's interested in training at the Performance Center. So I don't see him burning bridges necessarily.
None of us know what's going to happen.
Right.
Do I think he's had his last match? 99% no.
No.
Whether that's in WWE again, whether that's on the Indies, whether that's at New Japan, whether that's in AEW.
Don't say TNA, though. Don't give me this. He's going to go to wrestle in TNA because that's stupid.
No. I don't think he would want to. TNA can't pay what AJ Styles is about the money, bro.
Yeah.
And I think that money is going to be in a New Japan big match on January 4th. I think that's going to be in an AEW London where we're talking like at least 5 zeros. On
G1 in America, possibly.
Yeah. I don't see it. I don't think you're going to see him too much in the US. I think there's going to be a lot of international AJ where he just has to fly out, fly back 2 days later. I think that's what we're going to see. I don't see a lot of the US stuff happening, but London, AEW, you need a big main event. You can throw a lot more money at him for that show. There's a lot of speculation on the internet, on Twitter and whatnot. I'm not the only one thinking this, but it makes a lot of sense to have AJ Styles. Maybe he doesn't wrestle Will Ospreay. Maybe there's some other role for him, but I think you're going to see him on that AEW London show coming up here later on this year.
Let me posit another wild theory since you're talking about things on the internet.
Let's do wild theories, guys. Let's do them.
Okay. Brody King should be belted at Grand Slam Australia because of all the mainstream pub he's gotten after last night.
No.
Okay.
And he's not the one getting the pub either.
Right.
The show is getting a little bit of pub from that. I wouldn't even say it's a lot of pub either. Of course, we're talking about specific chants during the MJF and Brody King match. That's getting the news coverage. It's not Brody King, this new star on AEW.
Okay, we're copacetic on that. We're simpatico.
No, I don't believe Brody King is in the title picture after this. This is strictly to get MJF through while they're doing the Omega Swerve Andrade and Adam Page storylines.
Did you have a problem with that match last night? Because Paul Fontaine was angry about it because it was just like, why did you make him look like such a geek instead of just having Brody just run through him?
I don't think they made him look like such a geek. I mean, Adam Page was involved. It's not like MJF just lost clean to this guy. Once you get that step down, you can call it a burial or you can call it a jobber match a little bit. Did the beatdown go a little bit too much? Like, should it be Adam Page takes MJF's focus away? Brody King gets lucky with two straight moves and pins him instead of having a little bit more. I think it was all right.
Okay.
Because Adam Page is going to be your match at the pay-per-view. Right.
Yeah.
So MJF eliminates all of that by beating Brody King in Australia.
Right.
So he beats Brody King. All of a sudden, okay, whatever happened when I was distracted is no longer a problem. But now I'm going to take some revenge out as MJF is the clear babyface in this feud. I'm going to take my revenge out on the guy who cost me that one match and I'm upset. I'm going to take it out.
I do wish, I mean, if they're going to go the sleeper route, just do the sleeper, throw him in, pin him for three instead of, oh, we need a gonzo bomb and a run into the ropes. And look, he's out. You knocked him out. Just pin him. That's all you need. Or the count out even. Do a count out of MJF.
Ugh. But however they end up doing it,
yeah,
there's a lot of meat on the bone with MJF and these title challengers to get you through the rest of the year. And then, yes, like you said, Will Ospreay is coming back. AEW continues having bad injury luck. Jake Doyle, not former Colts tight end Jack Doyle, Jake Doyle got the injury bug, claiming during the match that he tore his biceps. So that could mean he's out for a little bit as I'm starting to lose my voice. So a lot of injury bug going on. Andrade certainly coming through and looking really good so far. That's your AEW TV. There's a certain guy on AEW TV named Ricochet, who's been casting stones outside of the company, trying to take down a little bit of his WWE time. Ricochet is going on social media saying that WWE wasted the last 5 years, ruins the careers of guys like Finn Balor and Shinsuke Nakamura. Where do you stand on this? And then I will tell you where I stand with hopefully no choking.
Had a conversation about this last night, so I'm going to do the Cliff Notes version of this. Ricochet bought the ticket and took the ride. He got exactly what he was going to be in WWE. He's a bigger star because of it. Was he a main eventer? No. Did he get to do long 30-minute matches? No, but they put him in the highlight reel spots up until the point he was there to make other people look good. And I get a problem with guys talking about their legacy. It's pro wrestling. It's decided on the whims of the people who are in charge. Who is there? Now, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of athletic talent in Ricochet. I love that guy. But when he was signed to WWE, and I believe you were still with the show at the time, possibly.
I've always been with the show.
Whereas other people were saying he's a can't-miss prospect because of the athleticism, I go, he can't talk. And it's not that he can't talk. He never showed the kind of personality he's showing now in AEW.
And even now, it's not main event stuff.
Right. It's comedy mid-card stuff.
It's not main event stuff. The problem with WWE for Ricochet is that they were always going to accentuate a lot of the negatives of Ricochet. And you go there thinking that, you know, I can prove people wrong. I can do a bunch of stuff. I can talk my way through it. He was a big guy that was like, okay, you're going to have Will Ospreay versus Ricochet. That match is going to be awesome. There's no talking leading up to it. Doesn't matter what his promos are. He's working these programs on the independent circuit where he doesn't have to talk. People are going to just know what Ricochet can do and want to watch it. In WWE, that's not always the case. Like, I know Chad Gable's awesome, but I'm not going to care about a Chad Gable versus Pete Dunne match on Raw unless there's some type of buildup to it.
I think, you know, and Nakamura and Finn got exactly what they wanted out of WWE for the most part.
Oh, and by the way, both have re-signed, I think in Shinsuke's case, multiple times. I think in Finn's case, multiple times.
Yes.
Both seem to have the time of their life.
Uh-huh.
They're over 40 years old. In Shinsuke's case, is he close to 50? He might be pretty close to 50 if he's not already over 50.
Yeah.
These guys are living their dream and their careers have been better because of it.
They're getting paid. They'll be making money far long after they retire. If they go to
the career of Finn Balor, are you kidding?
Good
Finn Balor's
Lord.
Career didn't start until he got here. Truly.
Exactly.
It didn't start.
And the other thing that just him saying that Sami Zayn isn't as big as El Generico. Are you insane on that?
I mean, come on now. There's some things that you say that take all your credibility out. El Generico
yes.
was fun. Had a great match. You go to anywhere and you El Generico versus Sami Zayn. What do people
And know? here's the thing that drives me the most nuts. He had friends in this company. He could and it's not like WWF/WWE was an unknown quantity about the kind of performers that they push and the kind of performers they like amongst even people in the industry. All you gotta do is ask, but everybody thinks that they're different. And I don't know what he did or didn't do in there, but all they do is they sign you and say, take a chance on yourself, see what you can do. But you also know what the biases are going in. It's like a character actor yelling that he never got starring roles to me. I'm a little bit nonplussed by the things that Ricochet is saying. And a lot of this might be gimmick. Don't get me wrong, but just some of this stuff is just sour grapes to me.
There's probably a little bit of defending the company I'm with, right? It's like he's gone a little bit too far, but it's like AEW is my company. I'm thriving here. I'm loving it here. I'm going to die on the AEW sword. But you don't always have to. You can be MJF, right? And be 100% true AEW and still not cast stones to the other side.
I mean, what's the worst thing in his legacy that might not happen that could have happened if he didn't sign with WWE? The fact that he's not a Wrestling Observer Hall of Famer, which gives nothing.
He would have been one of those first AEW guys. He would have been on TV for a few years and he'd be in WWE right now.
Yes.
That's what would have happened. He would be in WWE right now after his 4-year AEW run. They'd be giving him a try, and he'd be on NXT probably still.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right now. So timing is always funny. Timing changes a lot of the ways that people see some of these careers going. But I thought that was interesting that he was coming out so hard out of the box, talking about WWE ruining careers of guys like Finn Balor and Shinsuke, who were probably saying, Ricochet, shut up. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Shinsuke saying, I'm going surfing. Shut up.
TNA has a pay-per-view next weekend headlined with a tag team match that you could have told me would have been on TNA TV tonight. Jeff, three weeks later, have you given up on TNA TV yet?
I haven't started on TNA TV.
All right, well, there you go. You haven't started on TNA TV. And that wraps up our TNA coverage for the year. I would also like to say that Mr. Iguana, if I never see him again, it would be too soon.
Is this your first experience with the Mr. Iguana act?
No, okay. Not on WWE. No, I've seen it. He keeps showing up on WWE TV. I did see the AAA stuff when AAA first started with WWE on the AAA YouTube. I don't know anything pre-WWE about Mr. Iguana. I just know that, you know, they got a little bit interested in his first couple of appearances, had him wrestle a match on Raw, had him as a, you know, brought him all the way over to Saudi Arabia to take Finn Balor's spot in the Royal Rumble. It's like, it's just, I want to be done with you.
Timu Laparca.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.